Well, I think we ought to go ahead and get started here. Why don't we open with prayer and just pray God's blessing on our time together. I think this is going to be a great session tonight, and we just want the presence of the Lord to be with us everything that we do. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness and this time that we have together to get into your word and talk about things related to ministry. And Lord, we just pray your blessing now upon everyone that will hear this tonight and in the days and months to come. And we just pray your blessing on our speaker tonight, participants, and all those that are a part of this. And just pray your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this time, I just want to introduce the participants tonight for this Bible study. My name is Jacob Tapia, and this Bible study is for our ministry mentorship website, ministrymentorship.com. I'm the assistant pastor in Belleville, Illinois, at the Apostolic Church of Belleville. We have Micah Wisdom from Wagner, Oklahoma, and he is the pastor of the Wagner UPC Church, Wagner United Pentecostal Church, and we're glad that he's with us today. Also, Angela Harwood is with us. She's the student pastor, and congratulations on the new position, Angela. So she is the student pastor of Highland Village Church in Bloomington, Indiana, and we're thankful that Micah and Angela have joined us today. We'll introduce our speaker in just a minute, but we do have, I want you to know, that those of you that are watching this right now, we do have a Facebook thread that we've started, so you can go to our Facebook page. If you have a question, a comment, a prayer request for our speaker, this is going to be a great session, and if you have any questions or comments, we'd love for you to go ahead and put that there on the thread. You can find it at Facebook / ministry, I'm sorry, facebook.com/ ministry mentorship. And also, if you haven't, you can download the lesson handout, and that will be available at our Bible study page on ministrymentorship.com. And at this time, I want to introduce our speaker. His name is Mitchell Bland, and Brother Bland is an awesome guy, and I can't speak too highly of him because I think he's just a great minister, great friend to myself, my family. He is the executive pastor at the Sanctuary Church in St. Louis, Missouri. He is frequently teaches marriage and family conferences. He's a tremendous speaker. He's a singer, and he does all kinds of stuff. But he's also a counselor, and the subject we wanted to do today, talking about the minister's spiritual and emotional health, and so we wanted him to come. This is by no means, I guess this would be my disclaimer, that this is not specifically doctoral advice, but we're just, we can't be held liable for anything that happens as a result of this session, but we're so glad to have Brother Bland with us. You can follow him. His handle on Twitter is Mitchell Bland. He's on Facebook, M-I-J-A Bland. Brother Bland, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you very much. Count it a great honor to be a part of this, and kudos to you and all involved in doing a great work here. So with that, I shall begin here, this little study or whatever we're going to call it here. If you have the handout that was available starting right at the beginning with this opening session, many times some people, when I begin this session, many times somebody may flinch because of the word I'm about to use, but your first blank there. We are holistic beings, and when I say that, many times people are thinking, you know, well, some type of New Age meditation or some type of holistic healers or different things like that. I'm not talking about that. It's more of we are whole beings. We are miraculously made. We are body, soul, and spirit. Best way to put this is when one area has trouble, it affects every area of our life. simplistic, kind of simplistic in the fact of if you're hurting, for instance, if you just have some sort of an ache, a backache, some sort of an ache all the time, it wears on you. Going to wear on you emotionally, going to wear on you mentally, going to wear on you even spiritually, because that gnawing ache just is bothersome. Or say you're having trouble with your kids, or say, what is going on?
Hey, Angela, can you mute your microphone?
Yes.
Sound like I entered the gates of hell there for a minute.
I'll tell you what, the devil is already fighting. Okay.
Are we ready?
I think the demons have been cast out. Let's try it again.
Just saying, all of us, everything affects one another. Everything affects different things. So if you're having trouble with your kids, you're having trouble with your spouse, you're having trouble with the people you minister to, it wears on you. Wears on you mentally, wears on you emotionally, and sometimes even physically. You just get worn down. The bottom line is you only have so much energy. You only have so much to give. And we reach our limit so many times, and we're not balanced very good in that. So when I talk about this, I wanted to begin this by saying, because when I talk about this, yes, I'm going to talk about emotional and spiritual well-being, but truthfully, it's hard to just take one segment apart because we are so intertwined. We are such complex beings, and this an entire being. So when I mention some of these things, it's going to, hopefully it will, you'll understand better as we go through this. It works, they all work together. Again, only so much energy, only so much time to give, etc. So first thing, before you're a minister, before you're anything else, you are called to be a Christian. And that is something I've been stressing a lot at different things that I've been speaking at, different venues, because there is a lot of internal turmoil. A lot of people are not at peace with themselves, are not at rest within themselves, because they're not doing the right thing, because they're convicted about something, or they know to do something and they're not doing it. And so there is a lot of this internal turmoil. We're often not at peace within ourselves. I talked with Pastor Graham sometime back about something, and he was saying, he did a study one time on peace, and he said that it is amazing in Scripture, righteousness and peace so often are together throughout the Word of God. Let me look at a couple of Scriptures there on your references are on them, but let me read them to you. Psalm 85:10 says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Also, Isaiah 32:17, it talks about that, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. James 3:18, last one here. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. It's all about this. When there is a righteousness, when there is a rightness, when there is a, you know, you're justified through in Jesus Christ, there is a peace that comes with that. And that peace works on our spiritual being. It works on our emotional being. It works on our mental and physical well-being, that comfort, that peace. Another thing about being a Christian, I'll just throw in here, is being humble. God's going to sort everything out, and that's a tough one, because it's difficult at times to stay humble, to let God fight your battles for you, but check your motives constantly to stay at peace within yourselves. Also, being a Christian, let me throw out, you know, some of these things, but it's very important that we forgive. That is a huge thing. I know people who are physically ill. I know people whose lives do not go right. They have major troubles in every relationship they get into because they have unforgiveness in their spirit, unforgiveness in their heart, which turns to bitterness, which turns to anger. You know the verses about these. If you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. All of these things are vitally important to know and to understand. And I know this is simplistic here, but so often we skip over these simplistic things and, well, how can we really be the minister's emotional well-being? Well, be a Christian. Forgive people. Check your motives. Make sure they're right in those things. Being a forgiving type of a person. Understand this. The Bible does not ever say, well, I can't say ever, because there are times it says, yes, keep your mouth shut and just march. It says, shut up and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It does say things like that. But it also, many, many times when it talks about relationships, it says, blessed are the peacemakers. It never says, blessed are the peacekeepers. When it says, it's talking about you make the peace. And so the Matthew 18 principle, even, it says, you have an, if you have a sacrifice and bring it up to the altar, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, I got ought against that somebody, or something's not going right in this relationship, it says, leave that there and go make the peace. Go find the person to make. It's an action that we do. And when we do that, it brings, again, we're making the peace. It brings such tranquility to ourselves and to who we are, to us emotionally and to us spiritual and to our spiritual well-being. That is just, again, the very first one, just kind of simplistic, but sometimes a very real one that some too often we forget in the fact of just simply being a Christian. Just simply having all the hallmarks of a true Christian brings a lot of strength and a lot of peace to us emotionally and spiritually. The next thing that I want to look at is be honest with yourself. Be in tune the best you can with your own body. Be sensitive to your emotions. You know, there are people who have certain pain thresholds. For instance, you can go past someone and, you know, thump their hand or, you know, flip them on the shoulder or something. They turn around, ow, they'll scream, ow, or something. And you may say, that doesn't hurt. Truthfully, we're not in their body. We don't know if it did or not. They may just be saying that. But there are different types of pain receptors that different people have. Using that as far as the physical, but let's take that also to the emotional, take that to the mental well-being. Some people can simply just handle things better than others. It's how God has created us. And so know yourself. Know when you are on overload. Know when you're getting yourself into trouble before it happens. Know when you're getting stretched too thin. The Bible, now understand, the Bible has a lot to say about being lazy. I'm not saying that we just need to relax, do nothing, kick up our feet, just sip iced tea on the front porch. That's a good time. There's times for that. But I'm not saying we do that all the time. The Bible does say things about just being lazy, but it also has a lot to say about resting. It also has a lot to say about just laying some things down, being very, very honest with ourselves. There have been times in my life, just a little bit of me, three different times specifically that I can think of where I was so extremely overwhelmed. One of those times I had what I would consider almost a panic attack. I mean, I literally, my body was shutting down. I was just completely in overload. At that time, I was a very, very young man. And the two other times that I got into overload was I had too much going on in my life, and I lashed out very viciously to people I love and admire. And it was a it was a bad deal. It was a bad situation. And it was because I was on overload. I did not rein myself in, and I was not honest with myself, and I just kept pushing and pushing myself. And so we've got to learn to say no. That's a difficult word for us to say. It took me over 30 years to learn to say that word, to tell somebody, no, I'm not going to be able to do that. Very, very hard. But again, let me throw the little disclaimer on that one. Be very careful to what you say no to. Say no to the right things. I know if people say, well, we're not going to come to church on Sunday night because that's family time. There's no other time you could have family time. Maybe say no to a ball practice. Maybe say no to something else. But that many times that's what. So you have to say no to the correct things. Another thing I'll throw in here is people get themselves into what's called performance mode. They only feel good, or they only are worth what they can do. So they perform is how well they're liked, or how well they're loved, or what they're worthy of. You have to understand, we are human beings, not human doings. In other words, just because we be, or just because we are, we're worth something. We are made in God's image. And it's not that we have to perform. Now, again, James talks about doing the things, talks about works. I understand all of that. However, we cannot get so out of balance to where it is almost a pride thing. I will say this a lot possibly tonight. Check your motives on this stuff. What are you trying to perform for? To get the kingdom advanced? Or are you trying to perform things to make you look better? Or to make sure everybody knows how hard you work and all of that? So those are very important things to remember about when we're being honest with ourselves. What are we doing this stuff for? I'll be very careful here because you may hear this. People will say things like, we can rest when we all get to heaven, or there's no such thing as burnout. Back in my day, nobody burned out. And vacation, who needs that? We'll have an eternal vacation. And And you know, I know they say things like that, and they all mean good. And again, just as the pain threshold, they may be stronger than I am. I've talked with many, many people who are at the verge of a breakdown. They are absolutely overwhelmed. They have a lot of unnecessary guilt on them, and it's placed on them by people that are, I'm not saying I don't understand where that person is as an individual. I don't think it's God's desire to ever push ourselves until we crack. That is never designed. It talks about resting. It talks about relaxing. It talks about taking a day over. It talks about these things. But I don't think, again, let me flip this around now to hold out of balance. I don't think it's if you've preached on a Sunday, you need a three-day sabbatical either to recuperate. You know, and so there has to be a balance there in our lives. But bottom line, we've got to know ourselves. Be honest with myself. I'm not going to be lazy, but I don't want to overdo things just to impress someone. I've got to constantly check my motives, to stay in check, to know when I'm getting overwhelmed, to know what's happening within my own body, within my own life. The next one, number five here on your blanks, if you have it, is a simple one, and it's not spiritual at all. It's simply called sleep. You can look at studies yourself. Unbelievable amounts of studies are out there that talks about sleep. There is nothing that can replace sleeping. There's not anything, again, necessarily all spiritual about this, but it will affect you emotionally. It will affect you spiritually. It will affect you physically. It will affect you mentally and socially. All these things are intertwined together. You know, I've talked with people before, and it's almost, they talk almost nonsense, or they're talking almost out of their head, I would call it, or something's just bothering them, and I know it normally doesn't. They're normally not that type of a person, and I will stop them many times, and I will ask them, how much sleep, are you sleeping all right at night, just in a backhanded type of way, and a lot of times they're like, no, I can't sleep at night either, and bingo, I've hit the problem. We don't need a prayer meeting. We don't need to fast 3 days about this. You need to go home and go to sleep. It's exactly what you need to do. And many times that will refresh us, just simply getting ourselves back in the circadian rhythm of our own body. So if your body's not getting enough sleep, again, you're damaging things. And yeah, people say, well, I don't have time to sleep. I got so much to do. Well, I'm not being rude, but maybe you're a bad steward of your time then. Maybe you need to check at that. Ask God to help you. And we've got to get off the kick of bragging about how much we do and bragging about how busy we are, that we don't have time to sleep or don't have time to relax. I'm not going to speak for God too much, but I can back it up with some scriptures. I'm not sure he's that impressed with all that. There are times we do have to have downtime. There are times we do have to lay low. Let me tie a couple things together here. The previous one where I talked about being in tune with yourself, and this one where I'm talking about resting. Very, very important things to understand. And I'm going to speak here on the very edge of my knowledge. So if you have questions following in this area, I'm just going to pretend I faint or something because I'm not going to be able to answer them. But here's the deal. Above your kidneys, you have something called adrenal glands. They secrete adrenaline. Unfortunately, our society has turned us into adrenaline junkies. We have extreme sports. We have extreme roller coasters. We love the highs. We have runner's highs. We do all kinds of things to push our bodies. We like that adrenaline flowing through our body. So it used to be lower in people, and now it's just kind of risen in all of us. It just kind of is a set thing because we're constantly going. We constantly have all this pressure on us, and that pressure we have on ourselves, we put extreme amount of pressure on these adrenaline glands. Okay. They are, it's the fight or flight type of thing. Different things go with that, but it's the thing that helps us to keep going. And sometimes they're running so high. Matter of fact, we have evolved to where our adrenaline glands are bigger than our previous ancestors. The reason being is because we have a lot more stress in our lives. And, well, that's a good thing. We're not necessarily when you're tampering with things that aren't that good to be tampering with in our bodies. And I know our bodies are automatically doing this, but we have so much built-up stress in our life. Now watch this. If you have a powerful service on a Sunday, for instance, and you've watched services do this, like, for instance, they will go and they will have a huge peak at, like, the worship set. And it's just off the charts. We just a unbelievable, you know, just over the top, as Pentecostals would say, just an over the top. And then it will kind of lull back down. And then at preaching, and then it's like, yeah, but altar call wasn't that good. It really wasn't. understand what happens here is we only, as human beings, we only have so much to give. Now, you've seen it run high a long time, or you've seen a couple peaks in the service, but a lot of times those aren't as norm as a huge peak, and then they kind of, many times, if there's a big enough peak and things are getting done, the pastor will go ahead and dismiss church because he knows when everybody sits down and starts to listen to the sermon, they're going to just be out of it. They're going to fall asleep. We only have so much to give, and that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying we have to be careful of that. Now watch this. So many times we come home from a Sunday night service, we're on cloud nine, everything, people are praying at the altar, just a powerful service. We may have even done some front pew counseling after the service, so we're feeling really good. Things are going well. We're going to sleep really good that night because we're just exhausted. But what many times will happen on Monday morning, we will say, well, the devil's after us because we had a good service. Praise his holy name. The real issue is your body is reacting. Now, blame the devil all you want. That's fine. I hate him too. You can blame him for everything. But however, God has created us, not just the spiritual side of us. He has created all of us, the entire being, our emotions, our body, our mentality. So why you usually feel as if you've been hit by a bus is because your adrenaline glands were so secreted. They're high all week long, and then on Sunday night, they just off the charts. You have so much adrenaline, so much excitement in the service, and your adrenaline glands are saying, hey, recoup time. I need some time to recoup. We slept for a little while, but no, you know, during the night, and it recoups some. But the next morning, we get up, and we start pushing ourselves again. They have not had adequate time to recuperate. Therefore, we feel terrible. We are physically drained. We're emotionally drained. We're mentally drained. And so what's the best thing to do about this? Rest. That's the best. That's the only way to fix this. There's no quick fix in this, as we would like in our today's society. And the reason I bring all this up is to say that I know life is complicated. And I'm telling you, you're doing yourself no favors by constantly, constantly, constantly pushing yourself. Because you're going to harm yourself, first of all. But I will also say, how many relationships are you harming in the meantime? Are you harming your reputation? Are you grouchy? Are you short-tempered? I've talked to preachers' kids before, or pastors' kids, be very careful here, but I've talked to pastors' kids before who they don't dislike church, but they say, I dislike what church does to my parents. So it's a turnoff to them because dad gets home and he's a bear. Monday morning, he's yelling at everybody. Why? Because he's exhausted. He's still tired. And so, you know, so I ask you, you know, are you impossible to live with on a Monday? Know these things about yourself and sometimes rest. I know you just said don't take a bunch of time off because you preached a sermon. I know that there's balance here. I'm not talking on both sides of my mouth, but there has to be a balance here. The fact of I've got to know myself. Am I overwhelmed? It may be a good time for me to do my best to put some things aside and just take a nap. Or if I can't do that, just to calm myself down sometimes and not have to answer a phone call or not have to do something. Again, won't insult your intelligence by telling you what you can and cannot do, but you figure those things out for yourself. That will help you emotionally. Let me move on quickly. Be careful, number six, be careful with technology. I know this sounds like a weird one because immediately our mind goes, well, yeah, because technology, there's bad things and there's evil things on there. Yes, but I'm talking about even good things, okay, because it sounds odd, but let me give you a few points when it comes to technology here. We can't ever get away from it. It's constantly there. We burden ourselves with this so many times that if we don't answer the text in 5 seconds, we're going to drop dead or leprosy is going to break out on our face, that, you know, which is not true. But we convince ourselves. There are literally thousands of studies out there, and this stuff, again, fascinates me. I hope it doesn't bore you. But one of the main guys that I really like, he's been to a couple of our venues of the UPC and written some books, Dr. Archibald Hart. Great man. He's done all kinds of study. I watched a little clip of his. He did this talk at Biola University, and he would say, he said, 1 in 4 suffer from a diagnosable mental illness. 1 in 4. That is a bunch of people. And the reason that fascinates me and I bring it up now is because he went on to say much of that, a lot of that can be traced back to technology. And here's how. Because technology is actually rewiring our brain. God didn't do it good enough, I guess. And this is where, again, we're evolving because of technology, but it's not a good thing. In this case, the American Psychiatric Association now has things called digital dementia and Facebook depression and digital addictions. There's all kinds of things like this. Matter of fact, South Korea and China, they're taking action against this because they have these gaming arenas, I guess it's called. There's these big auditoriums where people sit in and they're doing these online gaming and stuff. These people are so addicted, they will not get up and use the restroom. And so they just go on themselves. And then the other problem that they were having was people were dying. They literally would not get up to eat. And so they're dying in these. And so South Korea, oddly enough, and China, which has a lot of, again, technology, they are stepping up and saying, we've got to do something like this. If they have taken scans because of technology we have nowadays, they have taken scans of brains addicted to cocaine and brains addicted to technology, and they look the same. The same centers of addiction are firing. And so they are now calling technology electronic cocaine. You can literally get as addicted to it as you can cocaine. And so the digital natives, those of you who are younger than I, my generation, I was about the last one. We grew up without a computer in our home. Mom got one when I was much older. We didn't have those things. Now they don't know a home without a computer. They had them. They have cell phones. They don't know what it is not to have smartphones. That's their native language. The natives to this, the digital natives, they spend 8.5 hours a day exposed to technology. It's unbelievable. And here's what's happening. The rewiring is taking place in the fact of the white matter, which is the processing, the speed processing, it's increasing, which is great. They can think real fast. The problem with that is they're sacrificing gray matter. You only have so much space, so it's sacrificing the gray matter. And the gray matter is empathy. It's reflecting, being able to reflect on things. It's having people skills. It's contemplation. Again, those are what, so you're taking, yeah, you can think fast, but you can't empathize with anybody. You can think fast, but you can't make proper judgment calls. Your brain literally is shrinking in that area, does not have the power to do it. There's changes in IQ. I'm sorry, you're getting dumber. The more addicted you are to technology, the IQ is down. Moods are swinging, anxiety proneness, the increase of depression is just off the charts, the need for instant gratification. I won't even start on that one. You can understand how where that could lead. Why have a relationship with her when you can have a relationship with someone on the screen? So that instant gratification is leading to problems. Let me give you off your paper. I'm hurrying here. Let me give you three main areas that I want to bring out when technology affects. First of all, it affects tranquility. There are natural tranquilizers in your body that bring peace. When you pray for someone, many times people are in a battle and they're all at turmoil, and you pray for God to give them peace. Many times I believe what God does, he may calm the storm, but sometimes, you know, the song says sometimes he calms the child. I literally believe what God does is he allows these tranquilizers to naturally work in the body correctly, and it calms people. That's that calming effect, so that tranquilizers. Adrenaline is high, which brings about, and again, I'm hurrying, cortisol. So your cortisol level is very high, which automatically blocks these tranquilizers. So you have these kids and you have these people who are addicted or are constantly on technology. It's literally raising the cortisol level, which is dropping the level of peace. They do not feel peace within themselves, which is a problem when it comes to spirituality. It's a problem when it comes to emotional well-being. The second thing I got on your paper here is something called oxytocin. This is that it's an attachment drug. It's a love hormone, they would call it. I call it a cuddle drug. When you hug someone, amounts are released. You feel bonded to that person. During sexual intercourse, enormous amounts are released. You feel very, very close and bonded to that person. Oxytocin is blocked, and it cannot be generated correctly when you have this other addiction to. Again, I'm not talking about pornography. I'm talking about just technology in general. When you are addicted to things like that, it lowers this to where you can't truly bond with someone. The chemicals in your body are not working correctly. And then the third, which scares me also, is your ability to worship. People cannot just sit in church and worship any longer. We constantly have to have something going. Constantly have to have something. I'm not against moving lights. I'm not against light changes. I'm not against screens. I'm not against moving backgrounds on the pro presenter back. I'm not against any of that stuff, okay? That's fine. But when we are changing to where we have to have that stuff in order for people to pay attention at church, we're headed for trouble, I believe. Because then it comes to the fact that we cannot even meditate. The Bible is full. I'm not talking about some blah, 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 yoga type of nonsense where you get a hold of your inner self and the higher being. I'm not talking about that stuff because they stole that from the Word of God. The Word of God talks about meditation, which talks about just being able to sit there and relaxing in God's presence, meditating on Him, meditating on His Word. And we have trouble doing that. And part of that is coming from this fast-paced technological world. I'm hurting. And that last one here, let me talk about number 7. Very, very odd, and as soon as I say it, some of you are going to look, you know, just what in the world. But speak in tongues. And they are fascinating. Just get on YouTube, get on some fascinating studies on this subject. We have enough, again, scientific evidence, and there's enough things out there that can map your brain. They have done this. They have had people come in, and they've mapped their brain, put them in EKGs, different things, MRIs, I'm sorry. They put them in MRIs, hooked things to their head, all of these different things. The thing that they looked at, the thing that they found out when someone is in tune with God and just starts fluently speaking in tongues, their brain goes very, very quiet, goes very, very silent. Some would even say, listen very closely, some would even say it has the same effect on the brain as an antidepressant. Talking in tongues has the same effect as an antidepressant. So it's probably why 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." Jude 1:20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up." Then 1 Corinthians, Paul says, I would that you all speak in tongues. Another place in 1 Corinthians, he says, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all." There is something about getting in God's presence and getting in the presence of God to where that heavenly language, that whatever you want to call it, just the Holy Ghost is praying through you, and you're just in communion with God. There is something, not only, yes, spiritually we understand that, but they are also scientifically finding out what it literally does to our body. You have to understand, God is not just concerned with the spiritual. God is concerned with the entire human, and He has made it to work together. Recap real quickly. Down at the bottom of your page, you are first a Christian. All the hallmarks that go with that will bring about more peace and emotional and spiritual well-being. Be true to yourself. Be honest with yourself. The second one, get enough sleep will help. The fourth one, be careful with technology. It can literally pull you away and cause turmoil within yourself. And fifth, a good one, just talk in tongues. It's a good thing to get in communion with God, to have peace with Him. All right, I hurried. Did I do it enough time?
Brother Bland, that was awesome.
Thank you.
Wow, I just got a text from somebody saying, tell him to take his time. This is great stuff.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Oh, goodness. Wow, a lot of great information here. And I'd like to, and I'm sure we'll go through and process this, but Micah, go ahead.
Yeah, we want to just welcome everybody. Maybe joined us late. Let me just go real quick and just kind of go over who's here and what we're doing tonight. But my name is Micah Wisdom. I pastor in Wagner, pastor of the United Pentecostal Church there. And then also, of course, we probably all know Jacob Tapia. He's just in Illinois. And then also Angela Harwood, the just has accepted a new position in Indiana as a student pastor, so we are glad she's with us. And then our guest tonight is Brother Mitchell Bland, executive pastor from Sanctuary, did a wonderful lesson. If you have joined us late, you need to go back and watch it on the archives. You can go to the Ministry Mentorship Facebook page and we have a thread going there. You can leave a comment or question, prayer request, something that really struck you during this discussion. You can talk about it there. But I would ask the panel a couple questions that we have here. And the first one would be, of course, this is a ministry mentorship Bible study. And so what are some things that would make a minister more at risk for emotional and spiritual unhealthiness? And so, Brother Blaine, we'll start with you, and then we'll go with to Jacob and then to Angela.
I've noticed one thing to be unhealthy is again, going back with society, but of course that's what we live in, is often we're in such competition. We have such competition with everything. Hopefully we can get to the place to where our motives are pure and all of it, to where if somebody else is baptizing people and they're all getting the Holy Ghost, I'm very happy for them. That's the building up of the kingdom. It's not about me. It's not about the sanctuary. It's about the kingdom. And so when we sometimes get in that, sometimes our pride gets in the way, and that competition sometimes gets in the way to where we can be, I guess that all leads to just misplaced focus. What are we focusing on? What are we trying to do? So that would be an extra thing I would put in there, is to be just focus on God. Focus on what's the important thing. What's really going on? What are you striving for? Because when we get that out of balance, again, that competition, that pride tears at us emotionally and spiritually, and can cause some train wrecks along the way.
Yeah. Jacob, what are some pitfalls that you've experienced maybe in your ministry that maybe aren't exclusive to ministers, but ministers may be more at risk?
Yeah, well, I know when I especially when I evangelized, and even in, you know, pastoral ministry, when you're preaching and teaching, you always want to have you want to preach the 10 every service. Mm-hmm. You're always thinking, man, you know, how is this going to end, and how can I, you know, bring this to a climax and have the most impact? So I would say, probably, I think Brother Bland mentioned it, but a pressure to perform, you know, having a performance, and just thinking that somehow, how the I guess the level, let's say like a 1 to 10. So if I do an 8 or a 9, then somehow I've pleased everybody, or God's going to be happy with me, or we had a good service. But if it's like a 1 or a 2, then somehow it's my fault, and I didn't study enough, or I didn't, you know, pray enough. And we can all do better, but to have that kind of feeling that somehow, you know, I'm responsible for all this, when really, you know, we're called to minister, to serve, and it's God that gives the increase. And so that's probably one of the big things that I have experienced. And then the second thing for me would be, I guess, the feeling that you're always on, or like you're somehow, you know, I don't know how I'd explain it, but feeling like you have to, like everybody's watching you. Okay, you're on the platform, you're in front of everybody. You know, you're wondering, well, what are people thinking of me? You know, and maybe other people don't. This is just some personal things that I have dealt with. And so just finally, you know, trying to get to a place where I can say, you know, what does God think of me? And does it really matter, you know, if I'm not performing a certain way, you know? So anyway, those are a couple of things that I think put ministry at risk, especially.
Yeah, I mean, those are great points, especially when it comes to preaching, because, I mean, your work is so public. You have maybe 50 or 100 or 300 or 500 or 1,000 people staring at you, watching you do your job. Yeah. Like, there's no, you know, the guy cooking burgers at McDonald's doesn't have, you know, a couple hundred people watching him his every move. So there is a lot of pressure on that. So Angela, how about you? How about some things that you feel maybe ministers are more at risk with emotional or spiritual unhealthiness?
Well, both of them have already been kind of discussed, because I've always, my whole life, I've struggled with comparing myself with someone else, and God has continually just spoke to my heart, saying, I've called you to do this and this person to do something else. And so I think it's important just to work in the uniqueness of your personality and giftings and callings, and allow God to use you how he wants to use you. And so unhealthy competition and performance, something came to my mind. I was in Athens last year, and I had to use a translator, and I had spoke the message before in Michigan, and I was not getting the same response, and so I felt like I was doing a really bad job, because I remember what it sounded like, what the response was prior to that moment. But what was happening was that everyone was kind of just listening, and I told God, like, I'm just, like, I'm done ministering, maybe this isn't for me any longer. And I went to the altar, and I just cried and cried and cried after I was done speaking, because I felt like I did such a bad job. And then there was just an amazing move of God, and what God told me in that moment to my spirit was, it's not about you, it's not about response, it's about me going to the hearts and lives of people and changing them. And so it's His word, and when you speak that word with a pure heart, and when you've studied and prepared and fasted, you just do what you know to do, and then God, He has to do the rest. And so that's something that I've had to just give to God through the years. It's in your hands now, God. Do what you want with these people.
Absolutely. Brother Bland, what you talked about having downtime and rest. What are some things you do? Like, you can even maybe step us through a little bit of your schedule, or like, what is your downtime look like?
I'm blessed in the fact of I can, for instance, you know, I'll have certain days things are scheduled more tightly than others, but then there are days that I may not have something. There's, and again, you have to always remember in life, there's always something to do. You know, it never ends. It will never end. There will always be one more thing to do. So you have to just kind of make up your mind that one's going to wait, you know, and prioritize a little bit better. So I'm in a situation to where there have been times I've been, you know, overwhelmed, very tired or whatever, and I have the ability. I left the church. I left work, you know, and
You left the church to go home, not like left the church.
No. That's when I get real mad, then I pray back through. But anyway, no. I left my work, which is the church, but I was able to. I'm in a position, which again I count as a great blessing, where I was able to do that and go home and just rest. But there are times I try my best. Sometimes it always doesn't always work, but like, for instance, like during the beginning of the week, because I know Sunday is always a hectic day, you know, some people, Sunday's a day of rest. Well, we understand it's really not, because we're not resting. We're constantly, it's very, very busy. And so Monday, you know, when I'm teaching at Urshan College, I'll have Monday classes. So I get up early and start teaching classes. And then I go to church, and it seems like Monday's really busy. But I try that night many times to not schedule certain things. You know, so the beginning of the week, I try not, like, there are, when I schedule counseling sessions or something, I will try to do it maybe on a Tuesday or a Thursday night, which is kind of spread out a little bit. The other thing is I try not to, I guess the downtime as far as just that, I guess I'm getting old, but I do go to bed at a decent time every night. I try my best to go to bed and get 8 or 9 hours of sleep, and I know people, how in the world, but that just works for me, and I'm able to do it, and so I do it, and that helps me out a lot too in that, as far as just being more refreshed and more relaxed in those areas. So as far as walking through a day is very, very difficult, because my schedule changes rapidly, and it changes every day, as far as every day would kind of be different. But what I do try to do is like the evenings, and then again on weekends, I try to spend time with my family, make sure that, you know, I'm touching them obviously during the week, but we try to do something on Friday nights, go out to eat or go somewhere, go do something together is one of those ways. And that's relaxing to me. That's not a burden to me. Some people are like, oh, dear God, getting all the kids dressed. Well, we have one. And so that's not a burden to me to get him and get in the vehicle and go somewhere. So I don't know if I've answered a question or just talked in circles, but those are some of the things that I would do.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Angela, what are some things you do to help to in your downtime to help refresh, kind of reboot when you feel like you're getting a little down, rundown?
I love being in God's creation the way He created it. So I love being away from power lines and cell phone towers, and I just love hiking or walking or fishing, anything outdoors. So that's where I find kind of my renewal, and God has spoke to me a lot when I've just been outside and felt the breeze again. But that's just how He speaks to me, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I have places here in Indiana that I can go to and just kind of reflect on God. But that's pretty much what I do. Or I go to a coffee shop and I drink copious amounts of coffee and I write in my journal.
Nice. Real jittery handwriting.
Yes.
How about you, Jake? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. Jacob, what do you do when you feel like you're kind of reaching a breaking point?
Well, a couple things for me. I like to, if I know I'm getting a little goofy in my brain, I like to schedule meetings with friends. Like sometimes I'll go over to St. Louis. I may, you know, meet my friends for breakfast. I have a couple guys that I'll meet with on a consistent basis to just kind of talk about, you know, ministry stuff or just life in general, just something that, you know, it's my friends. I can be real with them. I don't have to say, you know, I can say whatever I want. You know, if I'm having a bad day, I can, you know, I can say this day is horrible, you know, or I'd say that I could swear, but I mean, they would probably understand and pray for me, but I would never swear. So anyway, sorry. So, you know, yeah, you just have a place where I can be real, a place I can be real with my friends. And then another thing that I'm getting ready to do here once we're done with this Bible study is I'm getting ready to go on a bike ride with my kids and my wife. And something I've been trying to do a lot more of lately is just take some more time out and do things together as a family. And just, you know, look at my kids and laugh and not look at my cell phone because, you know, it is a distraction. So those are a couple things that I do. I also love to fish, and so I will go out on a little paddle boat. A friend of mine has a place. He lets me go fishing, and so I'll go down there every now and then and pull some big bass out of the water, and that helps me.
Yeah, those are all great. You know, I do a lot of things similar to all three of you. I have four children, and three of them are small girls, and then a boy that's 11. And you know, it's nice just to kind of take the minister mask off, the preacher mask, and just be dad and have fun. Another thing I do is I get up really early before everybody else, and I exercise every day, and that's just kind of my time. There's no one to bug me. And it kind of helps me in a lot of different areas. And I can definitely tell a difference on how my day goes if I miss that time. And so, and then, of course, I have devotion time. And Brother Bland, you were talking so perfectly, because if I miss that exercise time and that devotion time, it literally just sends me off a wrong path for the rest of the day. And it's amazing just that little bit of time in the morning to get you started in the right direction can make a whole lot of difference.
You know, Mike, can I throw something in here too? One thing that has really helped me just when I get to that breaking point is praying and allowing myself to cry. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when I start crying and just weeping and just that frustration, you know, I'm not really the kind of person to, you know, go out and scream at God, you know, and or scream at the devil or whatever. But for me, it's more of the, you know, the tears, just crying and releasing my heart to the Lord. I know that, and a lot of times I find that when I get done, I've released that burden or that, I don't know, stress or whatever. When I give it to Him, it makes a huge difference. So anyway, side note there.
Brother Bland, you have any final words of wisdom or advice or nugget of truth?
I guess the thing I would say, one thing that all of us can be careful with is I think, which is, again, a whole other can of worms, but I think so often our mentality in our society is, and I can't remember, I read a book, and I'm sorry, I'm not very good at remembering whose book and what it was. But anyway, they give the illustration of it's like a church nowadays is almost like a football arena in the fact that all of the crowd is sitting around cheering, and the pastor or the staff, they're the ones on the field running the ball up and down, and the saints, and they're good people, and they're just cheering them on. And he was saying that's backwards. It needs to be the people in the church working together, and the staff cheering them on and directing them and all that. Well, I was thinking about this because we get into such a, again, kind of this performance mode for me that I battled with for decades of my life. But we get into that area to where I feel like I constantly, you know, I can't ever, you know, like you guys said a couple times, just be in somewhere where you can let your guard down and just, and I'm not trying to, you know, I don't know if sanctuary people are watching this or not. I'm not saying that I want to be a hypocrite in any way whatsoever, but there's times I just need to decompress. I'm a human being. I only have so much energy, so much strength. I think of things like this where I've got to, and I do, I have mentors in my life that I can go to and that I can tell them what's going on with me, because I always think of this. I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes we're not given permission to just be human. Does that make sense? Without trying to set ministers up on a pedestal. I'm not trying to do that whatsoever. We're all people, but there comes a time to where it's just like, well, you guys can do that, and you're the staff of the church, or you're the pastor of the church, or you're whatever, and so you just keep pushing yourself, and you buy into that, the fact of, yes, I can do this, I'm supposed to, this is my job, and you buy into the fact that I can't ever have a downtime, I can't ever have a bad day, I can't ever be grouchy, I can't ever be real. And I think sometimes we have to be careful in that, and we almost set ourselves up then. Not that even the requirement is there, not that even that people are presenting that to us, but we almost buy into that, I guess, if I could say, that lie or that thing of where, you know, I know, Jacob, like you were talking about, you know, preaching to everybody. You just feel like it has to be a 10 all the time, where it's just like, well, I've got to do my best, and I think we should. But it comes to a point to where, again, I'll say my old motto, check your motive. What is my motive for doing this stuff? What am I doing to where do I have safeguards in place? If me and my wife start having trouble, do I have safeguards in place to go get help? Or do I have to put my preacher face on and say, no, I can't go get help, because if one person in this church knew me and my wife are struggling or having troubles, then it's going to reflect badly on me. They're going to discount my ministry. Do you understand what I'm saying? So sometimes that's where we have to be very, very careful. And I'm not saying get up in the pulpit and tell you, yeah, me and my wife, we fight constantly. We desperately need your prayers, because that will breed, you know, insecurity in the congregation. But I can't allow myself to be so independent, I think, and such an island where I won't reach out for help, where I won't say, I'm having a struggle, I'm having problems, and having mentors and having people in my life to be around to help me spiritually and emotionally.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Brother Bland. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this for us, and Angela and Micah. This has been a great, great session, and I've already gotten some feedback here from some people that really been helped by it. And so, you know, I believe it's very important. And you know, we talked about rest, and sometimes that is difficult. And I was studying recently about the Sabbath, and Brother Bland, maybe you can comment on this too, but how that God intended for the Sabbath to be a time when we reflect on what He has done, reflect on the things that we've accomplished. And I know so many times we get into, you know, our dreams and our visions and what's ahead, that we forget what we've done and the good things that have happened. So I think it is important to focus on those things and take some time and just think, you know, what did I get done? What did I accomplish? And rejoice in that and the grace that God's given us. So anyway, is anybody else have any closing thoughts? Micah, Angela, anything? Well, we'll go ahead and close. And Brother Bland, I wonder, just in closing, if you could just talk to that person that is saying, you know, look, I'm stressed. I've got a lot on my plate. I feel like I'm not, just not cutting it. Maybe even just feel like we're a disappointment. You know, talk to that person right now, and what would you say to somebody that is in that kind of mentality?
Probably the first thing I would say is you have to remember you are important to God. You are created by Him. You do please Him. His love is unconditional, which means there's no condition, which is hard for us to wrap our brains around. Whether I am sitting here doing a Bible study with people or whether I am out robbing a bank, God loves me exactly the same. And that's, boy, that gets in our head, and that's hard to truly, really grasp, but it's the truth. I do not have to perform to get Him to love me. I do not have to do, because I'm here, God loves me. I don't have to do one other thing in my life. He absolutely loves me. And so sometimes we fall into that trap where where I kind of mentioned, but we try to convince ourselves that I've got to do more. And yes, we all got to do more. Yes, all need to do better. Yes, we all need to pray more. Yes, we all need to, but like Jacob, you just mentioned, we get so focused on the things that should have been done and we could have done that we forget what has been done. What are we doing? What are we accomplishing? Those are those things that we can reflect back to understanding. And so there are times, and I look at life in snapshots, and I tell people this all the time, this too shall pass. You may be in the middle of something that's very, very difficult, but this too shall pass. I remember time in my life where, you know, I was trying to finish up my degree. I was doing internships. I was trying to teach. I was trying to be the assistant pastor at the church. We had just had a brand new baby. I was completely overwhelmed. But I had to remember, this too shall pass. And at one point, I went on, and it has passed, obviously. But during those times, I cannot get so overwhelmed that I'm no use to anybody. So it's important for us to remember, yes, we are important to God, but that the second thing, that many things in our life, this too shall pass. It's a phase that we're in, and it shall come to pass. And so many times those words, I do, again, rest in those. God knows the way I take. He knows where I am, and He knows what's ahead of me. He knows what I'm going to need in my future ministry. And so if I walk after Him, if I relax in Him, the steps of good men are ordered by the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all in your heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. He'll direct your steps. And walking in comfort and peace with God and walking in tandem with Him makes all the difference in the world.
Amen. Amen. Angela, I wonder if you could just close us out in prayer and pray a blessing over us. Well, Angela, are you still there? Looks like she got knocked off somehow.
She doesn't want to pray.
Yeah, I tell you what, you start praying and it's just...
He runs away.
Everything falls apart. Angela, are you still there?
Yes.
All right. Hey, would you mind closing us out in prayer?
No, sir. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, thank you for this amazing Bible study, Lord, that was taught tonight. Lord, that I pray that you would just bless us tonight, Lord, that even you went to a mountain afar off from people to rest and to be with people that you cared about, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would just show us on our day-to-day activities, Lord Jesus, where we can find rest, where we need to meditate in your word. Lord, I pray that you would direct our footsteps, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you would give us beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning, for the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaviness. Lord, in our lives, that you would exalt every valley, that you would bring every mountain and hill low, that you would make the rough places plain, the crooked path straight. And Lord, I pray that you would just show us those things that we need to focus our energies on, and the things that we are just, we're not being good stewards with our time. And Lord, I pray that you would just show us that tonight, where we can become better Christians, better people in your church, oh God, and that we would continually be kingdom-minded. Help us seal our work with excellence, oh God. Thank you for who you are. And God, I pray that you would just allow us to have peace that passes all understanding for things that we are struggling with right now. We may not understand it, but God, I pray that you would just release that peace inside of our lives right now, that where we completely trust in you, that we would know that you order our steps. Lord, that we don't have to walk into this world alone. We don't have to walk into our church alone, into the congregation to deliver a message alone. But Lord, that you walk with us and that you go before us, oh God. And I pray that you would give us that territory, Lord, wherever our foot may tread. And I pray that you would bless every single minister, every person who's listening right now. Encourage us, oh Lord. And in Jesus' name we ask and pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I'm thankful for that. Thank you, Angela, and again, Brother Bland, thank you so much for being with us today. If you have, if you've not become a subscriber, please do so, ministrymentorship.com. You can stay in touch with all of our updates and the activities that we're doing on our website. But I want to thank Angela and Micah for being with us today. Brother Bland, thank you, guys. And we'll look forward to seeing you the next time we see you. God bless. Bye.